You're listening to Rosemary Goes to the Mall, the saga of one woman's lonely journey around the Mall of America. I realize on the way in that I'm crabby again, and it occurs to me that it may just be that the Mall of America makes me feel bad, that it makes me unhappy, which is kind of a bummer because I haven't even gotten to the halfway mark on all these stores and I've got a lot of shopping to do. But I'm definitely feeling a little stressed out about it, a little stressed out about having to go in and find something in every single store. I mean, this is unnatural, really, to be doing this much shopping. I am excited to continue on my project, which I developed last visit, which was buying items which typify the decay of American consumer culture, or maybe just American culture. This seemed to, brighten my day last time. I was having a very crabby shopping day last visit. And I'm really kind of excited that I have a little bit of focus, some purpose really, to my shopping. And I'm excited to get started on that. But first things first, I actually have to hit two stores where I'm not going to do that. One is Local Charm, because I have decided that I'm just going to buy that goddamn necklace because I really like it and I keep thinking about it. And I figured out that my mother gave me birthday money, in March, so a long time ago, and I never spent it. So this is how I justify this purchase. It's not even as much money as she gave me. But that's what I'm going to do. So I go into Local Charm and go right to the case and open it up, and the pendant is still there and I buy it. And it, you have to buy the silver chain also that goes with it. And it comes out to be almost $80, but my mother gave me a little over $100 for my birthday. So happy birthday to me, a little bit belated, and I'm feeling a little guilty about this. I think that Keith will raise his eyebrows at this, but I really, really like it and I really want it, and it's my birthday present, so there. Next, it's time to go upstairs to continue on the second floor of the South Wing. And as I go upstairs, I pass by what used to be Everything But Water, where I bought that leopard skin bikini. And I can't believe it because it's only been a few weeks since I've been there, but it is gone. It is completely closed. And I feel tremendous relief that I got that leopard skin bikini back to them before they closed. Because God, what would I do stuck with $100 leopard skin bikini that I would never, ever wear? I mean, it was even one of those terrible tube bikinis, where, it's not even like the triangle, bra type thing. That would have been really embarrassing to get stuck with that. So, but I also can't believe that that store just poof went away. But maybe they did seem a little bit desperate when I went in with the return and they, and I didn't want to buy anything else, but still, it's kind of surprising to me. Now, the first store that I have to go to on the second floor is Victoria's Secret. And so this is my second stop that I have to get out of the way before I start my shopping with a purpose, which is not a purpose for me, but shopping with the purpose of finding items which typify what's really going wrong in our society. I have no doubt that I could find something like that in Victoria's Secret, but what I really need is some new bras because it's been like a year and a half and I'm in rather desperate straits. I'm pleasantly surprised by Victoria's Secret, which I always find a little intimidating because it's just so over the top in there. Because I start to look around and a sales girl asks if I need help, and I just said, well, I'm just looking for some new bras. And she says, well, let me bring you back to Lana, who will fit you and give you all the options that are in your size. And I already know my size, but she confirms that. And then she pulls this little box out of this big chest, chest of drawers. And the box contains all the bras that are available in my size. And I have to say that shopping for my size, which is, well, it's a generous size. It's a large size. I need full coverage. Let's put it that way. Shopping for my size can be challenging because you need so much coverage that sexy is totally out the window for the most part. But she gives me a big box of bras to go and try on, and I go into a fitting room and I just start trying them on. And I have to say that I am amazed at what is happening to bras. I mean, bra technology has, like, it's on par with advancements in medicine. You know, I mean, this is some serious bra-ing. I mean, wow. I put them on and I'm like, whoa, this makes me look great. And they fit so well and they're so comfortable. No more scratchy lace and the underwear doesn't totally stick into you in the wrong place. And there is one bra. I mean, this bra, there's a lot of them I like, but this one is stupendous. It is priced accordingly at $45 a bra, but it is called Angel's Secret Embrace. Wow. This bra, it's made in one piece of fabric. So other than the straps, which are a different kind of elastic-y material, everything else is one piece of fabric, and it's kind of molded to be shaped. And there's underwear in it, but it's totally hidden. And you put it on, and it feels like you're wearing a wetsuit. You know, it's like it fits that closely, but it also, it kind of feels that soft, slick kind of material. And wow, I mean, I am stunned, really. I'm totally stunned by this experience of wearing this bra. And even though they're really expensive, I feel like my life will not be complete without owning one of these. It is that incredible. I have never seen a bra like this in my life. This is a space age bra, if you want to know the truth. It's phenomenal. And I have to say, it's extremely flattering, which in my generous full coverage size is hard to do. Anyway, a lot of them look good, and I pick out three that I like, and then the sales lady helps me find where they are in the store, and I pick out the ones I want, and I got a couple black bras and a couple white bras, and I'm getting all my bras are from this Angel series, which is a new series of Victoria's Secret. I've never bought them before. I've always bought Body by Victoria. They're really nice, and the sales girl starts in on me to get the Victoria's Secret credit card because you get all kinds of coupons for Angel bras at half price and panties for free and $10 off whatever and blah, blah, blah. All kinds of stuff. I mean, really incredible. And I am usually completely immune to the power of salespeople trying to convince me to get credit cards for their stores. But I succumb, and I succumb so quickly, I kind of shock myself. Before I know it, there I am signing up for Victoria's Secret credit card, which I surely do not need. But these bras are so incredible and kind of expensive. And I definitely see the benefits of getting all these coupons to be able to buy more of them for cheaper. Now, bras are a funny thing because they cost a bloody fortune. Now, usually they don't cost $45, but they cost $30 or $35 a lot of the time. And you really can't skimp on them. And yet, it's an obnoxious amount of money when you buy a few of them together. So I actually really think that getting the coupons will be beneficial to me. And I figure I'll pay off the card and then I'll never use it again. And so, you know, do I need another credit card? Well, no, I really don't. However, I'm being seduced by Victoria's Secret here. On the way out, I noticed some really nutty stuff on their mannequins in their display, which I didn't notice when I went in because I was a woman on a mission to find bras. They have these like this lingerie with tassels and all kinds of stuff. And I figure that actually could have been good for my Decay of American Culture project. But I've already bought my bras for the day, and I don't think I need to blow any more money here. I think I've spent enough. Next is Lane Bryant. And I walk in, and of course, it's a little bit like being in the tall girl shop. This is not really my store. The clothes are just not my size at all because it's for plus size women. The store is populated by incredibly cute, plump women wearing really cute clothes and seeming very fashionable. And in general, I'm just like wowed by this kind of cute, plump world that I've just walked into. One of the saleswomen asks me if she can help me, and I'm feeling a little weird because, you know, I am the wrong size for this store. And I say to her, yeah, I'm here to buy a present for my friend. And she, I think, takes a little bit of offense. She says something to the effect of, oh, for your friend. Well, we can do that too. And I figure that I've probably just mortally offended her by trying to distance myself as someone who would not have to shop at Lane Bryant, which of course wasn't what I meant. It was just that I was feeling kind of uncomfortable because this whole thing is a total ruse. So, you know, shopping at Lane Bryant, I was just feeling like under the microscope when she asked me if she could help me. So I just skedaddle away from her and start to check out the accessories. And I'm feeling a little challenged here in terms of trying to get something that epitomizes where Western society has gone wrong. You know, I mean, everybody looks kind of cute in here and it's sort of fashionable, and I'm feeling a little uncomfortable and like, I've already put my foot in my mouth. And so I really can't see anything so over the top here that I'm really going to be able to do justice to my new ambition here. However, I gravitate to the accessories because I figure there's always ugly accessories. And lo and behold, I find a bunch of belts and sort of belt wraps that are supposed to sit on your hips. They don't really go through belt loops. And there's a number of good options here, but the one that I get is it's a belt of black leather discs that are attached together with metal studs, some of which are bejeweled with glass jewels, you know, like fake diamonds and whatever. They're not really diamonds because, you know, they're so big you wouldn't never believe that they were diamonds. But the effect is supposed to be kind of somewhere between punk rock and, you know, wealthy ho. And I figure, and this is about as close as I'm going to get in this store because actually everything is pretty tasteful. And so I go for this black leather belt. On the way out, the woman who asked me if she could help me in the beginning asks me if I found something. And I say, yeah, I got this black leather belt. And I pull it out of the shopping bag. And she says, oh, that is so cute. I have one of these. And yep, I just wear it down here around my hips. But there's something slightly disingenuous about the way she says this. Like, I figure she probably would say anything was cute, but also I think she's after me a little bit. I think that I pissed her off. I have a similar problem in motherhood, maternity. I mean, what exactly in a maternity store epitomizes the decay of American culture? Nothing. It's about reproduction and love and family and possibility and hope. Budding hope, really, is what maternity stores are about. And honestly, their clothes are so cute. And I have this real pang when I'm in there about being pregnant, and which I never liked, to be honest. It was, you know, you're big, everything hurts, you're uncomfortable all the time. I never slept more than a few hours at a time. I was pretty tired. But at the same time, it's all about this baby that's coming and this new creature that's coming into your world. And I'm having some real pangs about that in this store. I also wish that I had had the wherewithal to dress better when I was pregnant. I was so cheap when I was pregnant with Evan that I just looked like a total bum the entire time. We were pretty broke then. But I could have done better for myself. I just didn't know how to dress. And then with Garrett, I bought more clothes, but they were all jeans and t-shirts still, exactly how I dress every day. But there's all these really cute clothes, and we have a couple friends who are pregnant right now, and they're always looking really cute in all these little outfits. And gosh, I get kind of jealous, like, boy, I'd love to have another go around and look as cute as, you know, you clearly can do, as a pregnant woman now. And then part of me just feels a kind of sadness because I probably won't be pregnant again. We're probably done having kids, and it's just, boy, that was just a real special time being pregnant and having our kids. And as Garrett gets older, you know, he's getting to be less and less of a baby every day. And that's the end of babies when he's not a baby anymore. In any case, turns out there's no return policy, at motherhood maternity. Full price stuff you can exchange, and, sale stuff is final. So that kind of stinks. So I searched the sales rack for something really cheap and ugly that I can buy that will sort of fit into my thing here. And I find this really ugly pink jacket. It's sort of like a sports jacket, but it's hideously ugly, with little fringe around the edge. And oh boy, anybody who wore this, whew, yuck, it is bad, bad, bad. It's only $10, so I figure that's not a huge loss in terms of buying something that can't be returned. It's nothing that anybody I know would want, but I'm beyond really being able to give someone a piece of maternity clothing and explain to them why I have it and explain this whole project. It's hard to talk about this project to people because people think I'm strange. In any case, as I'm checking out, I realize that I missed the boat because my eye rests on the maternity underwear section, and they have maternity thongs. And this, to me, would be a much better choice in terms of something that was, you know, really the decay of American culture. My problem with that, though, is that I actually don't really think it's the decay of American culture. I think it's really funny. And the thought of wearing a thong when I was pregnant, I mean, whew, no thank you. They're no fun on, you know, a normal day. But boy, when you're pregnant, yikes. But I was not a very sexy pregnant woman. There were pregnant women who I saw around who would just like have bare midriff with their belly button pierced, and just, you know, huge belly and some little sexy top. And man, you would not have seen me in that. in any case, I do feel like I missed the boat a little bit on the maternity thong. However, I'm not really willing to spend more money that I can't return at the moment. Rockport shoes also is a challenge because, once again, I really don't see anything that's particularly threatening to me or particularly irritating or anything like that. I do pick out a few pairs of shoes to try on just to have something to do. There is a pair of high-heeled summer, not sandals, but, you know, they're covered toe, but that's it. You know, there's no straps or whatever. So they're sort of like mules, but they just don't go very far up. They just cover your toes. Maybe this whole idea of women forcing themselves to wear ridiculous shoes to conform to societal expectations of their femininity, that could be a decent reason to get those. Then there's another pair of green high-heeled sandals, and they're too comfortable. You really can't fault sandals that are super comfortable. And then there's this pair of kind of, they're not exactly sneakers. They're kind of mesh shoes that are open on the top and then have these strappy things that go loop around the top to keep them on your feet. And I try them on, and my God, they are wonderful. They feel so good on my feet. And at first, my thought when I tried them on was, well, maybe this is about, you know, how ridiculous we are with sneakers and fashion and, you know, ridiculous looking shoes. But then I try them on, I'm like, damn, these things are comfortable. I would love to own these. And before I know it, I'm checking out buying those sneakers. So I feel that I've failed somewhat in the Rockport shoe store. However, you know, I will return them because, you know, even though I love them, I can't really justify a $70 pair of shoes right now, especially after the bras and the necklace. Yeah, but I love them. They're really cool. But anyway, I think I've failed here, but onwards, I think that I can redeem myself in the coming stores. This proves to be all too true in Brighton Collectibles, which is filled with hideous wicker purses and, you know, ugly jewelry, just really expensive, kitschy crap. And I find a number of different really ugly, kitschy, crappy bags that could fit the bill in terms of they're so damn cute. They're so cute, and we think we're so cute, I guess, is, you know, my problem with it. And also the kitsch factor. We love kitsch. We collect kitsch. We worship kitsch in the face of things of real quality. And I'm just sick of the cute factor in this country. Women, particularly of a certain age, start to gravitate towards stuff which is, you know, really dumb. It's like that "home is where your story begins" plaque that I bought last time. That is just subscribing to cuteness and cliche. And this pisses me off in the same way. I find the worst offender of the bags to me is this wicker bag with ladybugs all over it, leather ladybugs. And I just think, what is a grown woman doing with a purse with ladybugs on it? A 5-year-old, even a 10-year-old, I can buy it. They're kids. But what is a grown-up doing with this kind of purse? The sales lady, when she sees me pick out this purse, drags me over to the wallets, and it turns out there's even a matching wallet for the damn thing. I draw the line, however, because the purse itself costs $135, and I figured that is plenty to be spending in here. When we ring it up, I notice on the receipt that it is in fact called the Love Bug purse. The sales lady effuses about how cute this thing is, how much I'm going to love it, how everybody says that, you know, everybody who buys it says they get comments about it all the time. I think she really thinks that I'm buying it for myself. I try to clarify that this is a present for my mother, but I think she really thinks that I have a ladybug thing, and that kind of bugs me. So now I'm back to halfway down the southern wings hallway on the second floor, and I'm directly over Lego World again. So I stop. I figure I will go back and finish the other side, and then I'll do the same thing as I did last time. I'll go up to the third floor next time and then come down and go second floor, first floor again. The first store on the other side is Le Gourmet Chef. And this is just, you know, your stock kitchen store with some particularly kitschy items. And I'm looking for something really utterly useless that will fit the bill of, you know, I can't believe we pay money for this crap kind of feeling. There are some ice cube trays that are so elaborate that they have like rubber bottoms to help you push the ice cubes out and stuff like that. And they don't have a price tag on them, and I assume they're really expensive. And I think, well, maybe this could be it because it's, you know, really elaborate thing to make ice cubes in. But then part of me thinks it's kind of a good idea and kind of wants it. So I think that I should be getting things that I don't want because somehow I see them as really unnecessary. I do find this condiment serving set, which is really kitschy and ugly. There's one little bowl that's in the shape of a palm tree. One's in the shape of a flower and one's in the shape of a pineapple. And they're hideous, and they come in this long rectangular bowl too. It's the kind of thing I would never, ever want to own. But then I'm thinking, well, is the only thing that I think is a really negative of this culture is cuteness and kitschiness? And I don't think that is. However, there certainly seems to be a ton of it around. And I hem and I haw, and I go back to the ice cubes for a while, but I really actually kind of want those and think maybe they're more of a good idea than a bad idea. I mean, not all progress is bad, right? So I go back and I decide on the condiment serving set because I can't find anything else really ridiculous in this store. Until I get this thing up to the counter and I'm checking out, and they have a rack of these little bottles that are spray bottles, and they are called flavor sprays. And they're in all these different flavors, and they're like butter, birthday cake, you know, all kinds of things that you might, oh, banana split, all kinds of things that you might covet if you were dieting. And they have a big sign on them which says zero calories. And I asked the sales girl, what are you supposed to do with these things? Is it like that chocolate perfume that I saw at that perfume store the other day? Or is this something that you spray on food? And she said that if you're on a low carb diet, it's the kind of thing that you could spray on, say, a rice cake and eat it and get the sensation that you're eating something really outrageous like chocolate cake, but in fact, it's zero calories. And this absolutely fits the bill of what I'm talking about here. This typifies what is wrong with our goddamn culture. We are looking for shortcuts all the time. I mean, you know, me and my chocolate bonbons, like I should talk, right, about dieting. However, am I so desperate that I need to spray my rice cake with birthday cake flavored flavor spray? Blah, yuck. I just think that that is disgusting and pathetic, really. So I buy a bottle of the birthday cake one. I'm revolted. I can't believe that this stuff exists, and I may have to keep this because it revolts me to such an extent that I may need to prove to people that it actually is out there and people actually buy this crap. Now I feel like I'm in this total groove at this point. I've just been going boom, 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 store, store, store. And I realize I only have a few left on this floor. And the next one is Christopher and Banks. Now, this is like a more flowery Talbot, you know, clothing for the middle-aged woman, very tasteful. Again, I'm having trouble finding anything in here which really is offensive until I stumble on more kitsch for the American consumer. They have this short sleeve white sweater, which at the bottom has, it's a combination of knitting and a design that's been printed on it, like a drawing design. And it's clearly is supposed to be a really kitschy picture of Paris because there's the Eiffel Tower. There's a little poodle walking down the street. There's some pink chairs and a table, which I guess represent a cafe. Oh, there's the poodle again. I guess this this design just repeats itself over and over again. And I think, and then it has little beads that are woven into it periodically, different colors. So little sparkles, you know, everywhere. Wow. Do I hate this thing or what? It is so ugly. And once again, kitschy American crap. So I buy it and, I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased with this purchase. I think that, you know, probably the woman who owns this sweater would buy that birthday cake flavored spray for her rice cakes. And, maybe I'm getting on track here. Now at, I don't know how to pronounce this store. Paiva, P-A-I-V-A. I've never heard of it before, but it's very high-end women's workout clothing. Super slick, like really appealing stuff. Like, you can look gorgeous and fantastic even when you're sweating. I find my item immediately because it's in the front display. They have this mannequin that is actually a mannequin that's in yoga pose. And I mean, it's been created to be in yoga pose. It's not like, you know, a mannequin that they've somehow screwed the legs around and, you know, put them together. It's, you know, Baddha Konasana with the feet together, hands together in front of the heart. It's amazing that we now make mannequins in yoga poses, but that is probably the topic of another discussion. However, right next to this fantastic looking mannequin in Baddha Konasana is a yoga mat in its own little mesh bag. And it is a Stella McCartney yoga mat. It's a Stella McCartney Adidas yoga mat that costs $110. Now, this is perfect, because the fact that we have taken this spiritual practice, which is about not coveting things, not being materialistic, and, you know, really being centered in oneself. And we have taken the accoutrements of that practice and we've turned them into status items. And that is incredible. $110 for a yoga mat. You know, it's a nice mat. It's got, it's pink on one side and it's blue on the other. It's not like normal yoga mats. I mean, I wonder if it's really good at keeping your hands from sliding. I bet it is. Nonetheless, you know, fuck you, Stella McCartney, like, you know, millionaires designing things so you can still look fabulous even when you're working out. Well, you know, leave yoga alone. Yoga doesn't need you. If you do this to yoga, yoga will suffer, and yoga is a fantastic thing. So I buy the yoga mat because that is just incredible to me. On the way out after purchasing the yoga mat, I notice another item that is almost as good as the Stella McCartney yoga mat, which is a gold lame yoga bag for your yoga mat. So if you got fed up with the mesh bag on your Stella McCartney yoga mat, you could get a gold lame one for the inexpensive, the bargain price of $79. However, I make up for the fact that I wasn't able to get that gold lame yoga bag at Guess, which is the final store on this floor, by purchasing a gold lame bikini. I don't even try it on. I'm carrying so much crap and I don't really even care anymore. I don't even want to pretend that I really want this stuff anymore. I can't even find a matching size for the bikini and the bottoms. I find a small in the bikini and a medium in the bottoms. And I figure, oh, well. So maybe the person I'm buying this for is big on the bottom and small on top. In any case, I feel very good that I have gotten some gold lame in there because I think this is probably a perfect way really to end the day. You know, it's interesting because buying things that I think are a negative in the culture, you know, the danger is that you're going to become really moralistic. So you're going to be like, oh, this is too sexy, so you shouldn't get it. And that doesn't really concern me. What concerns me is like teenage girls being forced to be too sexy, or people having bad taste, or the glorification, or the, like with the yoga bag, the taking this thing, which is actually such a soulful thing, and making it be all about money and status and surface. And then the way in which we fool ourselves, like with that flavor spray, I mean, that's just disgusting. Like, go on a diet, man. Like, you know, stop eating the chocolate cake. Just stop. Stop wanting it. Stop eating it. I mean, like, I should talk, right? But I'm, you know, but what I don't agree with is the idea that something super, like those sexy high heels at Rockport are really about the decay. Because although, yeah, you could argue that, you know, high heels, women, blah, 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 oppression, you know, whatever. I think that that it's okay to dress up. It's okay to look pretty. It's okay to look sexy. I guess what really offends me is the kitsch and cuteness and the way that everything becomes about materialism and money and status. I decide to top off the day by having some gnocchi at Tucci Benucci carryout. And so I go downstairs and order my gnocchi, and I haven't eaten here before. I promise myself I'm only going to eat half of whatever they give me. But, you know, when I get it, I'm really hungry and I end up eating the whole thing. So, you know, maybe I should have gotten some gnocchi flavor spray to try to control myself, and had some rice cakes available. However, it was really good. And I'm glad that I got the chance to try that out. I'm trying as many of the restaurants here as I can. And this one was good. Anyway, I really enjoyed myself, actually, particularly by the end. This like decay of American culture thing, I kind of dig it. I might keep going with that if I can. It's providing me with a little more interest in this whole thing, and a way to kind of get through it. And I have been pretty grumpy lately about this, so I do need some strategies for making this whole thing a little bit better for me.